Glory to God. Well, I wasn't certainly wasn't expecting that, but it was good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's awesome when you just get stirred. And, you know, I believe the Lord was just stirring me to praise and to just remind us of what we need to do. Amen. Just remind us of how we need to go, how we need to be. This is where we are. This is what we do. And this is how we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for victory that's in the local storehouse. Praise God. You know, we have victory in Christ Jesus, but man, when it says that when we gather, He's amongst us, we know that the victory is amongst us. Amen. That means it's right here tonight. Glory to God. So if you came tonight, you came to the right place at the right time. Praise the Lord. And I hope you came expecting. And even if you didn't, you might get something anyways. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm just so stirred, you know, by the word. I'm stirred by what God wants to do and what God is doing in us. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. I'm excited for tonight's message. I'm excited to have church. I just tell you that I've been being encouraged and more encouraged. And as I progress, I'm not saying there hasn't been attacks. Sure, there's been lots of attacks. But, you know, the thing that I find is the attacks, they only last as long as they last. But the devil doesn't have near as much stamina as the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't have near as much stamina as Jesus on the inside of me does, praise the Lord. And therefore, he doesn't have near as much stamina as I do, glory to God. And I know that that applies to you too. And so even though the attacks come, even though there's opposition, praise the Lord, we might feel pressed, but we're going through the other side, amen. Praise the Lord, glory to God, amen. Well, of course, as always, we welcome if anyone is on our live stream. So glad that the Lord led us to do that. You know, I don't think that it's for canceling church. I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong or whatever. I mean, each pastor has to be led for themselves. Amen. But I knew that we weren't led to do that specifically, but I am happy for it because those who can't be there or don't feel like they should be here right now, they can still tune in and hopefully that they are, praise the Lord. But, you know, it's just another way for us to reach people out in the community. And I believe that even in these times, you know, there's people that are looking for answers. There are people looking for help. And this is not the time for churches to lie down and be weak. This is not the time for churches to act weak or to live weak. Amen. This is a time for churches to get stirred up and say, hey man, this is what we've been trained for. This is what we've been, we've been put through the trials for, praise the Lord, is to prove in us what God has put in us. Amen. And we know that what God has put in us is good, and we're going through all the way through to the other side. But we're not just going to go through the other side. We're not going to come across the finish line dragging and just whooped and defeated. No, we're going to come across skipping and rejoicing because we got we got the most wonderful thing you could possibly have. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in case you didn't know what it is to stir yourself in faith, you're looking at it right now. Glory to God. This is, of course, this is being led by the Holy Spirit, but we are stirring ourselves in faith. We're going to continue stirring ourselves in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And, you know, I'll just tell you the truth. When I woke up this morning, I didn't necessarily wake up in a place of faith, but it's feeling like it. You know what I mean? But man, glory to God, as the day progressed and I just sought the Lord, it was there. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called He Has the Answers. Amen. And of course, you know, we're not, we're just being a reminder. Praise the Lord. There's lots of times when we prepare, and there's been a lot of things in my messages lately that have just been reminders of what we've already prepared for. But that's okay, because when you're reminded that, I have that tool, then you can go after it, use it, and do what you need to do with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we know that God has the answers, but I'm going to start with a scripture. I actually read this earlier on one of the social media platforms. I can't remember a minister that we know that we have sat under before posted this on his website or on his page. Praise the Lord. It's Nahum 1:7. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows those who trust in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows those who trust in him. Glory to God. Times of trial, and I've been saying this and I believe this. If you read the Faith Fix today, I hope you were blessed by it. If you didn't, make sure you do, because it was for this time and this season. Amen. But we know this, that times of trial are not a time for us to be in fear, but they're a time for us to refocus. They're a time for us to look at what's going on. You know, when you, anybody with any survivalist will tell you, if you're out in the world, the worst thing that you can do if you find yourself lost is panic. Yeah. So the worst thing you can do is panic. The worst thing you can do is get into fear. You have to take a deep breath, even if you have to scream to get it out for real quick, you know, but you just move on to starting to go to the things that you know. Amen. And you start preparing for the things you know. And that's exactly what we're doing. But, you know, and that's what trusting in the Lord is. Sometimes we, you know, the trial will come and we have a minute of panic. Praise the Lord. But we're going to continue in faith. But the biggest thing is that we have to keep ourselves out of fear. Because we have to look at it right. And the only way we're going to keep ourselves out of fear is by looking at it correctly. Amen. How do we look at it correctly? Well, we just remind ourselves of the promises of God. Amen. We remind ourselves of the word. And as we do so, it should strengthen us. If it doesn't strengthen us, then we don't really believe it. Amen. But we turn to the word of God, and God knows who is his, but he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Amen. Now, we've seen some days here where there's days of trouble, but I can tell you quite honestly that I've spent more of these days in peace and joy than maybe I have at all in the past year. And I just think it's amazing. Now, I'm not saying I haven't had attacks. I've had some of the heaviest attacks that I have ever had in my life in the past week. Praise the Lord. But I have also experienced some of the most wonderful days of peace as well. Because overall, and the reason for that is because I've just decided I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, I gave some things up. Man, I could just tell you, I gave some things up to the Lord that I had just been refusing to give up. And I just finally, I did so in a way that I can counsel other people in that same area. And I gave them over to God and I said, you know what? This is your thing, man. This is for you to take care of. I can't do this. So I ain't going to try. For once, I'm not trying to do his job. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. I'm just going to keep doing what he told me to do. I'm going to keep standing the way he told me to stand. And I'm going to keep receiving what he has to give me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. He knows who trusts in him. So it's time to get out of fear. Amen. We need to use this. This is such a wonderful time. And the Lord showed me this is opportunity for us. This is such a wonderful time for us to refocus. I'm just going to give you a hint. Some of the people out there think that this is the end of the world. I'm going to give you a little bit of a clue. This is not the end. It's not the end. It looks bad. But the end looks a lot worse. Amen. I'm just going to tell you the truth. This isn't the end. Glory to God. We are delivered from this. But this certainly, I believe, as many other ministers that I know believe this as well, but this is certainly a wake-up call. This is not the end of troubles. This is not the thing that's going to take us out. But this is the beginning of them. This is an idea of some of the things that we'll be facing. There is an attack to try to limit the church. There's an attack to try to remove from the church, to get the church weakened, but it's not going to happen. Amen. The real church is going to stand strong. And what I mean by that is not necessarily just because, you know, somebody doesn't have a service or because somebody, you know, decides to take, go to live stream only or something like that. That's not what we're talking about at all, because you can do that in complete faith. Amen. You can do that in complete faith and still stand against the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we do know one of the things that we have been privy to is we have actually been able to see into some of the ways that the enemy is going to work in the end times. Do you want me to help you recognize something? Yeah. One of the things he is going to do is he is going to make it easier, and I believe this with all my heart, but the devil is going to make it easier for us not to congregate. He is going to make it, he's going to try to make it a common thing in society where large numbers of not wanting, and you just watch as things progress, you will see it as well. And that's exactly what he's going to try to do. But he's not going to stop the church. He's not going to keep us down. He's not going to keep us from preaching the word. He's not going to get us off in a different direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. We know that God has brought us together and we're going to stand strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we are focused today on God has the answers. And in these times, we always have to seek him. In fact, we should be so used to seeking him that it's not hard to transition in this time to just seek in him. because that's what we should be doing. We should just be conversing with God. Isn't that a good thing to think about? Amen. Praise the Lord. As I was meditating in some scripture today, I heard this in my spirit, and I just love it when God speaks to me. And actually what he says is very true because I heard him, but he said, hearing the voice of God is not hard. Praise God. Hearing the voice of God is not hard. We overcomplicate things. We make things difficult. We can come up with all kinds of ways to muddle it up, but God, hearing God's voice is not a difficult thing. And we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about how to hear from God. We're going to be talking about that we should hear from God, but then how to hear from God and how to make sure that we hear from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have to know the first thing we have to know is that hearing God's voice is not difficult. It is not something that we have to strive for. It is something we have to learn to recognize, but it's not something because God's speaking to us all the time. So it's not something that's so much hidden from us as much as we have to tune in to be able to hear it. You know, I always love what my pastor said about, the Holy Spirit. He said it's kind of like tuning on a radio. You know, you have access when you have a radio. You have access to many different stations. And fortunately, we still have radio, so we can still use this analogy here, praise the Lord. But, in probably just a few years, kids won't even know what radios are anymore. But as you tune, you hear a lot of fuzz. But as you get closer and closer, you start hearing a sound come in. And then as you get closer, it gets crystal clear. And if you're right on, man, you can hear it just perfectly as if the person was standing right next to you. Well, the Holy Ghost is the same way. As we learn to dial it in, and as we learn to tune into what God is saying, what God wants to say, we can literally hear the voice of God. One of the things that I love about the voice of God is that he speaks to each one of us the way he wants to reach each one of us. And so he speaks to us from that place of knowing us. God knows us. And so he'll speak to a way that's sometimes very different than other people. Amen. And when I mean different, but the same. So there's similarities, but there's a difference to it. There's a way that you'll know it, that you'll know that it's the voice of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great thing? It's so exciting to know that the Father of all creation, that we could tune in and talk to him, that we can hear from him and that we should hear from him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ask my children all the time. I was like, what does God say to you? You know, and a lot of times I get the same answer. Nothing. I don't know. You know, praise the Lord. They just haven't learned to tune in on it yet. You know what I mean? I'm not saying necessarily like the older ones and stuff like that. But, you know, we have to learn and to recognize when God shows us something and then it works out. We're like, okay, this is God. And I start recognizing it. But we're going to learn how to recognize the voice of God. But the first place, I'll give you a clue that you're going to hear it is always in the Word. If you don't learn to hear God's voice in the Word, you'll never learn to hear it in your spirit. You'll never learn to hear him in the rest of you. And in the spirit is where he's going to give you direction for your life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He'll do it through the Word, but he'll also do it. He'll fine tune it in the spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So one of the things you must know is that you are not going to know everything. This is one of the first things you need to know. You will not know everything about everything just because you talk to God. You can get into prayer and you can spend lots of time praying, but God is not going to tell you everything about what's going to happen. He will give you bits and pieces. Sometimes he will give you a little bit up front. Now, why is that? A lot of people wonder, well, why wouldn't God just tell us? Because if God told you everything that he knew up front, you would quit, run, hide, and go in a totally different direction because you wouldn't be able to handle it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We don't, it's just like if you took went to a kindergarten class and you sat down with them, you say, okay, kids, today we're going to learn calculus. And you open your calculus book. I don't even know what calculus is. I just know it's hard. Amen. It's far above the grade I went to. Amen. So, or it's at least above the grade I went to. I don't know how far. That's just what I don't know about calculus. But if you went to a kindergartner, if you sat down with me and say, okay, today we're going to get, I could probably get the concepts as I learned it, but a kindergartner wouldn't even be able to, they'd be frustrated. They'd leave there. They'd have nothing more than what they started with. Amen. But God knows the same thing about us. And there's another reason. That's because God's world, God's creation is supposed to work according to the principle principles of faith. God started it that way. He's going to continue it that. He continued it that way, and he's going to end it that way. The way that the world works, the kingdom of God works, is by faith. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so faith is a belief in something, is sometimes a belief in something that you can't fully put your hands on. Amen. It's a guarantee of it, but it's not something that you can always grab onto. And so God is going to always lead us according to faith. One thing that I have been learning, praise the Lord, as God has led different pastors that I know in the same thing, is that God will not lead us all the same way most of the time. Now, let me qualify that. He will lead groups of people that are together in the same direction. But in that direction, he will do it by doing different methods. Amen. And he will use pastors differently. We will all be going in the same general direction. For example, the family churches are all going in the same general direction. We're all after the same general thing. But, I love what Pastor Michael says. He said, we're not cookie cutter churches. He said, he doesn't micromanage each one of us. Each pastor needs to be led for themselves. And why is that? Because God wants to do what God wants to do in the areas that he's got those pastors in. He wants to do what he wants to do there, regardless of anybody else. And he's going to do it differently just to shake things up a little bit, just to get you not to look over there and say, okay, because God doesn't want it to be easy on you in the sense that he wants you to be able to look at someone else. You know, one of the things is, praise the Lord, and we're all guilty of this, but when this pandemic hit, one of the things that I noticed is that a lot of ministers, including myself, started contacting other minister friends and started saying the same thing. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, all of us that I know of came to the same conclusion, and that blessed me. And that's that I'm going to seek God and see what he would have me to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But one of the things that the Lord pointed out to me is how so often in times of trial, that's what we do. Yeah. We go to someone else when, in fact, we should be going to God. We should have just gone to God and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? Mm-hmm. Period. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking counsel and having counsel, and that's why why it's good to be together and stuff like that. But you know, that was just something that the Lord opened up to me and showed me as an area that I need to just tweak the next time. Amen. And that doesn't mean we failed in anything. We certainly didn't. God has put us together again for a reason, but God's just making me better. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying, I don't know if he told any of the other pastors that, but he certainly told me that. Amen. So the first thing we must know is that we are not going to know everything. So that means when any trial comes, we are not going to know everything that's about to happen. Even with the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, we're not clairvoyant. We're not going to read the future, so to speak. God will show us things to come, and we're going to see about that. But God is not going to show us everything. He's going to give us bits and pieces and expect us to move in faith. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you must get yourself in the place that you are okay with this. Yeah. Yeah. You must. You have to get yourself to the place where you are okay with not knowing everything. Yeah. You're not going to have everything in your control. You're not going to have everything figured out. You don't need to, and that's okay. Because God will lead you if you will be led. Amen. Let's turn to our first scripture. Will not be unfamiliar to you, John 16:13. Praise God. Now, it is amazing to me how much God has brought this scripture up to me in this past year. You know it. You've heard it a bunch from this pulpit. If you've gone to Corey, you've heard it a bunch in that pulpit too. But what's amazing is that God has given me this scripture to meditate on, to study on, to get stuff out of. He's given it to me all, at least really hard for the last year. And you know what's amazing about it? We need it right now, don't we? Praise the Lord. John 16:13. God has not left us nor forsaken us. See, and that's exactly what I mean. He'll start telling you things and you may not know what it's for. But if you're willing to be led, if you're willing to listen, he will show you what it's for. In the right time, you'll know and you'll go and it'll be everything will be fine. Amen. Everything will work out for those who follow God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So John 16:13. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it says here, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide or lead you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come. Why do I say that? Because both are used, and I think both apply. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will show us things to come. Now, I want to ask you something. Who is God going to lead? won't it be those who are willing to be led? God is not a forceful. We know that about God. He doesn't force himself on anyone. He's a perfect gentleman. Praise the Lord. But he is only going to lead those who are willing to follow. And we have to understand that this is paramount to our walk in Christianity. If we endeavor to ever get beyond the basic place of just being saved, we have to learn this idea that God desires to lead us, but we must desire to follow. If we don't desire to follow, we will not be led. Praise the Lord. He won't guide us. We won't see it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was thinking as I was putting this together, I've used this example many times, but it's a wonderful example. When I went on that bear hunt up in New Brunswick? Yeah, that's where I was. When I went in that bear hunt up there in Canada, we had a guide, and that guide would take me out to a tree stand, and he would put me in a certain place, and he'd take other people to other tree stands and put them in certain places, and then he would show us where it was and where the bear, were supposed to be and all those things, and he would tell us what to do, but he would lead us and guide us there. But how many know, and I've told the story about when I decided that I was there, that I paid to be there. I didn't want to sit in that stinking tree stand anymore. So I was done and I was going to walk out of the woods. Praise the Lord. So I called the guide and he tried talking me out of it, but I didn't listen. And therefore I went out of the woods with him. But how many know that I was only going to, the only possibility of me shooting a bear that night or that day was if I was following my guide. Amen. And so I think about that, and I trusted him when he took me places. I trusted him when I didn't believe him about bears at all. I still don't believe him about that, but I trusted him is that he knew the area. I trusted him that he knew what was going on. Amen. In fact, we know that the man was hired mostly because he was born out of a tree or a rock in those woods. And so he was just part of him. Amen. He was pretty much maybe even chiseled out of a rock. I mean, everything was just like, he wasn't a big guy, but he was just like, looked like he was chiseled out of a rock. Amen. Not because he was ugly or anything like that. I mean, he was just like a woodsy looking guy. You know, he just looked like a rock morphed into a man. And that's what you got. Amen. Was John. Praise the Lord. John, if you're listening, I still love you. Praise the Lord and want the best for you. Glory to God. Hope you're not insulted. But I think about that. I think about how easy it was to follow him. I never met this guy before, but they said, follow this guy. He's going to take you out to a place you've never been before, out in the middle of the wilderness where you've never been before, places that you've never seen. He's going to take you out there and he's going to show you where to shoot a bear and he's going to sit you down in the woods and he's going to leave you there. But you'll be okay. Just follow him. And I'm like, okay, I went. Amen. It was easy to follow John. Praise the Lord. And what was funny is it was easy to follow a man who never died for me. It was easy to follow a man who never paid any price for me. It was easy to follow a man who never, took up a cross for me. And one who took paid so I could have walk into all he has. It was easy to follow that man. Praise the Lord. So we ask ourselves, why is it difficult for us to follow God? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be difficult. Amen. We should trust God. Glory to God. But the thing is, we can see God, and because we can see man, and because we can see man, sometimes it's easier in our minds to trust him. But this is not faith. It is not fully faith to trust something that you see. It's more faith to trust something that you don't see. But Jesus promised us. He told Thomas, he said, blessed are those who have believed and yet have not seen. Glory to God. In other words, we don't need to see God to be able to be proved proven to us, but God proves himself to us in all of creation. Amen. We trust him because we see what he's done already. Glory to God. And so we have to get to this place where we are okay with trusting God and believing God. Amen. And that means that we are going to trust him in adverse situations, that we are going to trust him when the pressure is turned up. We are going to trust him when all hell is breaking loose. Yeah. Glory to God. We are going to trust him when everything is coming against us because we trust him. Praise the Lord, not the trials. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue on here. John 16:14. Glory to God, goes on to say, speaking again of the Holy Ghost, still the Holy Ghost, he will glorify me, for he will take what of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, this morning as I woke up, my first reaction is it has been over, especially the last few weeks, My first reaction was to, honestly, was to grab my phone and check the news. I wanted to see what was happening today. And honestly, I do not believe that it's out of fear. I just believe it's out of habit, that I'm just curious of what's going on. What's happening? What's the new rules? What are the new things? What's the new happenings? You know, who's doing what? All this stuff. I have a kind of a draw towards the news, and it's one that I have to be careful of. But as I picked it up, I heard in my spirit, why don't you pick up the word first? Why don't you start the day on the good news? Glory to God. Now, I've heard this before, and of course, I obviously don't always follow that. But, you know, as I heard that, I was like, you know, that's right. That's what I need to do. So I had opened the news. I didn't quite look at it. I put the news back down and I opened my word. Praise the Lord. They're on the same device. So I didn't have to just, you know, go looking for my Bible or anything. It was all right there and I could lay in bed because my eyes were awake. My mind was mostly awake, but my body still wasn't awake. You ever been there? I don't know why, but last night was one of those nights I slept so hard that when I got up this morning, I felt my body was part of the bed. Praise the Lord. And so my mind was waking up and I was just trying to get into it. Amen. But as I did, I opened to John 16, 13 and 14 and 15 here. I started meditating on that. That was because that's where I knew the direction that God was going to have me go today. And actually this message actually came to me yesterday, but I knew that's the scriptures that it was going to be based on. And instantly the Lord started talking to me about this word declare. Now I've studied out the word declare some, and I've used it before, but what he showed me today, were things that I didn't quite see. Now, when you open your Strong's Concordance, if you got one of the things that it does is it starts off with the word. And a lot of times, you know, a word, especially in the Greek, Hebrew, whatever, it will be a word that is based off of other words. They reuse words. In other words, they might, like in the Hebrew, I'll just give you an example. There's the, you may see the name, like you see it a lot in names, but if you see the name, you know, we all know the name Jonah. We've heard the name Jonah, but there's the name Bar-Jonah, and you'll see that name in there as well, in the scripture as well. Well, Bar-Jonah literally means the son of Jonah. I guess Bartholomew would be the son of Tholomew or whatever, or however it works, you know, but that's literally what it means. So a lot of times that's what they would do is they'll take a root word and then they'll tack on another piece to make it another word. And the word declare is very much like that. What was interesting is a lot of times when I read a concordance, and any of us can do this, this isn't because I'm some kind of scholar, because I certainly ain't. But as you can see, you read the words and you break them down, you'll open it up and you'll see the different words. For example, in the last, when I read the two different words, I said, he will tell you or he will show you. If you look that word up in the Greek, it will literally say tell, show. It'll give you a few examples of what that word means, just to kind of bring it out. Amen? And sometimes it'll even give you some context. And that's a nice thing about a concordance. But what was interesting here is that the Lord drew me in to look at the base words of the word declare. And now I'm not, going to give you the Greek words because it doesn't matter and I don't really know them anyways. But there was basically the word declare, the Greek word for the word declare was based on two base words. Now this is really interesting because this is going to answer an assumption that I always kind of had. I just hadn't proved out yet. Amen. But the two words, the one means to, it means, it, literally it said a piece, but what it's talking about is to, like, to portion out, you know, like each piece, like to portion out. So one of the root words means to portion, like to portion out, amen? Glory to God. And the second word is the word, it's the same word that's used for angel or messenger or pastor. All these words are the same word, amen? And so it means messenger. So literally, that word means somebody, a messenger who portions out. And so when you see that in context here, and I've been saying this for a while, but basically and instantly as I was reading and studying that out, the words executor of a will came to my mind or to my spirit. And I thought that's what an executor, and I looked it up just to make sure, but that's what it was, an executor of a will. Now, we know that the executor of a will does what? When a person is passed on, that they take the inheritance and they declare what was the will, the last will and testament of the one who is passed on. And they say, this person is going to get this, and this person is going to get this, and this person is going to get this, right? Amen. And sometimes there's big family squabbles over what so-and-so decided they wanted, but that's what the rule is because that's how it is. Amen. Folks, as Christians, we should never squabble over things like that. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. We shouldn't. There's no earthly thing that is worth a fight. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it really opened my eyes to see something in the scripture, something that I had thought for a while, because he said he's going to take what is mine and declare it to you. And verse 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and declare it to you. So all things are not ours. All things are the Father's. Yeah. And all things that are the Father's are the Son's. Yeah. But the Son says, I will take of what is mine through the Holy Spirit, the executor of my will, and declare it to you. Glory to God. That's what that's talking about. So this puts a whole new way of, not new way, but a whole better way of looking at this and understanding the scripture and the job of the Holy Ghost. Now we are given very specifically in scripture, we are given the work of the Holy Ghost, what he will do, what he was supposed to do, what he is meant to do. Amen. So we know that one of the things that he is to do is to guide us and to lead us into all truth. Praise the Lord. But we see here Jesus was telling them, he was like, I have many things to say to you, but I can't tell you now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will take from what is mine, and he is going to executor of my will and declare it to you. He will take, he's going to set you down. He's going to say, okay, child, this is yours. Okay, child, this is yours. Okay, child, this is yours. Now, why do I bring all this stuff up? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because not all things are yours. You got to know that. You've got to understand as a child of God that all things are not yours. One thing that I started getting a little bit depressed about when I first learned about this concept, it was years ago, but now I don't. Now I see it in a totally different light because now I see it as the truth in it. But I got a little bit depressed because when I started opening my eyes to the things of God, I started realizing all cars are not mine. All houses are not mine. I don't get to live wherever I want to live. I don't get to just pick whatever job I want to pick. I don't get to just do whatever I want to do in that sense. I don't just get to live my life just for me. And that was a little bit depressing to me because here I'm like, I come to God and I hear about this God of prosperity and this God that wants to do things and wants to bless me. All those things are true. But he's not going to bless you with everything. God has a wife for me, but not every woman is my wife. Not every woman is a potential. Praise the Lord. Not every woman was a potential. Praise the Lord. I tried it on my own. It didn't work out. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I'm going to tell you that it works out much better now because she is what God had for me. See, the Holy Spirit, and we know this because when we could go through sometime, if you're interested, we'd sit down and tell you the whole scoop. But the Holy Spirit worked hard on both of us. Praise the Lord, in a time when neither of us were serving God. And he worked on us because he needed us to get together to accomplish what he wanted to do. But see, the point is he was declaring to me all the while, he was declaring to her all the while, what is ours, and we didn't even recognize it yet. But see, so this is the thing, if you're in a place where something, especially something you need, that's the thing where you need to know how to hear the voice of God because you need God to declare to you what belongs to you. See, what it does is the Bible promises us to be blessed. You know, Proverbs 10:22 says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. We love that scripture around here. It's a wonderful scripture and it's the truth that there is nothing that will bless you like what God gives you. But this is something I've learned in my life, folks. You ready for something I've learned? Praise the Lord, I'll share it with you. Something I've learned in my life is that I don't even know what blesses me. I think that that thing might be a blessing. I think that's something that I want. I think that's the answer to all my problems. And I get there, I get it, and guess what? It never is, unless it was the Holy Ghost. Unless I had sought him, unless the Lord had declared it to me. God wants you in a place where you are fully supplied. He wants you in a place where you're at complete peace. He wants you in a place of complete joy. He wants you happy, full. He wants you to be eating the good of the land. Praise the Lord. But he's going to tell you what's good for you and what's not. Praise the Lord. This is an important thing to understand. Not all things are yours. All things are his. Praise the Lord. Everything on the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But what is yours, what part of it is yours, he will deliver to you. That means that not every child of God is going to be a multimillionaire. But he's not going to call everybody to do what he's going to call that millionaire to do. I will guarantee you this, that what God has for you is pertinent to what he has called you to do. And so if God has called you to something, one of the first things that we have to believe is we have to, and not just say what we believe, we have to know if God has called us to something, then he has called me to be able to be fully supplied in that thing. Amen. So if he's called you, and I've been saying this for a while, I know, but if he's called you to a church, he has called you to be a full supply to that church, and he will supply you as you be a supply. If he has called you to a town, doesn't matter what the town looks like. It doesn't matter how depressed the town is. He has called you to thrive in that town, but you got to believe. If you are called to a place, you have to realize that if you are in a place where God has you, that place is where God is going to bless you. But you have to believe it before you're ever going to see it. You know, I've been hammering on Jeremiah 29:7 lately, you know, about praying for the peace of the area where God has called you to be captive. Yes, that is true, because God will have you captive in a place. Just if you were born in a place, thank God for it. Now, that doesn't mean God will never move you somewhere else. There has been many times in the last week that I have said to my wife, we're moving. Yeah, of course, I'm not being serious. We're not actually moving, because I know that by doing that, I move out of the will of God. Even though in my flesh, it may seem easier in the moment. Listen, folks, this will teach you something here. In your flesh, the momentary decision of your flesh may make it easier on you in that moment. But if it is not God, if it is wrong in the long run, it will not be a blessing to you or the people around you. It will be a detriment. This is why we learn to put the flesh down. I love getting older, because as I've gotten older, I've learned how to put the flesh down better. It's not as easy or it's not as hard for me to put it down, because I've learned some things. Amen. Some adults never learn, and they never get to that place. But it's not hard. It's not hard in certain areas that I used to struggle in to be able to put the flesh down. Why? Because I've realized there was a day where I would have packed up and left. First sign of trouble, see ya. I'm gone. I'm out of here. You can watch my dust as I'm driving down the road. Amen. I'd figure. I got there, I'd just do whatever. And knowing what I know now, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit, if I didn't have the direction of God, knowing the things I know now naturally, I absolutely would be gone. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why? Well, the first thing all you have to do is tell me in the natural that the highest concentration of coronavirus is New York State. See ya. I'm going to a town where it ain't. I'm going to a state where it ain't. There's states that barely got touched. I'm going there, amen. Praise the Lord. But see, that's not what the Lord had me do. So I got to know something. I got to know that God's called me right here. And when I know that he's called me, guess what? That's where I'm planting my roots. That's where I'm blessed. Mayville, New York is where Jeff is blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All my blessing, all my life will stem out of this place. Unless, of course, God moves me somewhere else, which I don't see happening in the near future or in the future at all, actually. If God has that for me, he certainly has not showed it to me. In fact, it seems quite the opposite, that I'm going to be here for quite some time. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't love necessarily the politics of New York State, even the weather of New York State. I mean, I used to love snow. I'm even thinking that less now. I'm just like, man, make it easier on me. That's all I want to do. I want to go where it's sunshiny all the time. I like that. I've had a taste of the Gloria. I want more of what it tastes like. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm just saying. But see, this is the thing. God doesn't have that for me. And so as much as I think those things would bless me, as much as that, they won't. But you know what God does? I found in my life as I got more and more faithful to follow him, what God does is he opens up ways for me to experience those things, or to experience things in a way that I do find joy, I do find peace in. And then he does it in a way that just really blesses me. Like where I do things where I'm just like, my wife and I, like literally, I mean, I'm looking at this time off, you know, with everybody, like I realize the ramifications of it. I mean, there are some serious ramifications of it. But man, I just got more time with my family. Yeah. I'm looking at this whole situation as I have time right now to like kind of step back and reevaluate my life. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to actually be forced to slow down. You know, everybody's forced to slow down and we're looking around at things and we're like, okay, what's going on? Well, this is a great time to just sit back and say, okay, God, let's see how you want to do things now. Let's see how you want to work. There ain't nothing wrong with, see, the Christians look at things the wrong way all the time. They look at trial and the first thing they say is, oh, trial, scary. Scary, I don't want to look at it anymore. I don't want to see it. I don't want to go through it. But God's saying, if you would just relax and realize that I'm still God, I haven't fallen off my throne. If you would realize who I actually am and that I've got you in the right place at the right time, you know, you were born in the right place at the right time. I said that before. I'll say it again. You were born in the right place at the right time. If you are alive, breathing today, it is right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And even if you've been off, amen, even if you've been far off, you know what the greatest thing is? Right now, you can be right. And I believe if you're here, you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has direction for you, but you got to learn to listen to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. God determines which of his belongs to you. His blessing is on that which he determines is yours. God's blessing is on that which he determines is yours. You know why my marriage is blessed? Because God determined that this wife is mine and that this husband is hers. And we've recognized that, and because we recognize that, we're blessed. And our marriage is blessed. Amen? The quicker you recognize that, the quicker you Amen. God will come through for you. That doesn't mean that every day is perfect. Doesn't mean that every day, you know, that we always are smiling or whatever. But we have this uncanny ability to get back in the place we need to be because we know, well, one, we know what's at stake. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And we're just not willing to have it any other way. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. There are lots of trials that will come up in life. There will be trials that will try to rob you from everything that God has blessed you with. But if you will not be robbed, you will. What the heck? Where did the time go? Man, praise the Lord. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Folks, we do not focus on tomorrow. We focus on right now. Right now, you are breathing. That's good. Right now, you are living. That's good. Right now, as far as I can see, not one of you has a coronavirus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're good. Right now is good. Focus right there. God, what do you have me to do right now? Let's not focus on what it's going to look like in a month. See, that's the fear that the news puts out there is, oh my gosh, it's going to get worse. It's going to get exceedingly worse. Not for the child of God, it isn't. Not for the one who's in faith. It gets exceedingly better because I go from glory to glory, not glory to sorry. You know what I mean? I don't go from glory to something from real good unless you just don't want to live in faith and then you do. Praise the Lord. Now, here's something else we have to understand. Instructions out of order will not make sense. If God gave you too much of the future, you would quit. Faith must be built in us. I think about this all the time when I was a kid and I'd build Legos. And, you know, if you accidentally skipped a page, you know, and you're looking down at the thing you want to build and you skip a page, you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I don't have that piece there. I can't put the next piece because you have to build on the one prior. Amen. And so God's doing the same thing in each one of us. He is building on the instruction that he's already given you. And each one, he will take you through the steps if you're willing to go. But if you're not willing to be led, he won't be able to lead you. God wants to take you step by step into what you have. Amen. I want to bring up another scripture. And I plan to bring this up. Daniel 5:11. I want to show you something here. It's real interesting. It says, there is a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of... In whom is the spirit of the Holy God? Now, this is the Old Testament. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of God's, were found in him. Why? Because the spirit of God was in him. Look at that. Light and understanding and wisdom of the gods. You know what the wisdom of the gods is? It's you know, of course, the one who's talking was not a believer in God. There wasn't a, you know, Jehovah. He wasn't a believer in that God. He believed in many gods. But what they knew is that what they thought was that the gods had all the wisdom of the universe. They knew the ins and outs, the things we couldn't see. Amen. That's why they were gods. But he was saying that all the wisdom of the gods, all that they know for whatever reason is in this man. They were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. In other words, he made him the lead, the head honcho. He made him the lead man. Amen? Because he was the one who had that had the wisdom of God, because he had the spirit of the Holy God. Now, Jesus left this spirit on the inside of us. Yeah. We have the light of the world. We have it abiding on the inside of us. We always know what to do. We may not always know what to do, but we know that we always can know what to do. Praise the Lord. Because we have that light on the inside of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we are going to go here to Psalm, turn with me to Psalm 119, and we're going to go see the importance of the word. Amen? And I believe in God to help me say this the way that you need to hear it so you can have it help you. Psalm 119, 97. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. Now, when it says law in Scripture, when it talks about commandments in Scripture, what's referring to is the Word of God. That's what we have before us. This is the law of God, if you want to think of it that way. Amen? And so when it says, oh, how I love your law, he's not just talking about the Old Testament law with the rules. He's talking about the things that God has spoken. Amen. Because that's what they knew about the law, that the law was the thing that God had spoken. Amen. And they know that if it was the thing God's spoken, that it must be true. We have to know the same thing. And so he says here, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. First instruction. Oh, how I love your law. First of all, you got to fall in love with this book right here. Amen. If you want to hear God's voice, anyone in here want to hear God's voice? Anyone here want to have the answers to a million questions? Praise the Lord. You got to fall in love with the book. You got to fall in love. You got to fall in love with it. You got to love it. It's got to be your, oh, I love this. And when you're reading it, you just got to get excited about it. Look at it like you're dating it. I mean, you just love this thing. You want to get you want to get into it. You want to see it. You want to know all about it. You can't wait to pick it up again. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Let's see, how do we meditate on the word all the day? Well, a good way to do it is to start with this good news instead of the bad news. But start with the good news, and you start there, and you let God speak scripture to you. And when you go, the first way you're going to see God is you're going to be reading through scripture, and then all of a sudden the scripture is just, for some reason, it's going to taste real good. It's the only way I can say it. You're going to look at it, you're going to have light. You're going to be like, oh, I like that. I don't even know why I like that. I just like it. Stands out to me. That's God's voice. That's him speaking to you. That's the first place God will speak to you. So if you start learning that, oh, glory to God, you're on a good path. Because God wants to speak to you, but he's going to only speak to you. And why does he start in his word? Because if he doesn't start in his word, you're going to get goofy. See, because there's a lot of voices out there. The Bible says there's tons of voices out there, and none are without significance. There's lots of voices speaking to you all the time. You ever have a bad thought in your head? Yep. You ever had a thought, somebody maybe cut you off in traffic, you thought, I'm just going to push them right off the road. Now, you probably didn't do that, and if you didn't, that's good, that's why you're here. But you probably had that thought before. Somebody's gotten mad at you, started yelling at you, or something like that. You've had bad thoughts to them. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know my wife has never had a bad thought towards me whatsoever. But if she ever acted on those bad thoughts she never had, praise the Lord, we would have problems, wouldn't we? Glory to God. We can't act on those things, right? Praise the Lord. So our meditations have to be right. If our meditation is not in God's word, then it's not going to be right. But see, what a lot of people do is they'll get a scripture, like God will highlight a scripture. We'll just call it like that. It'd be a scripture, like if you're a studier, like you see here, I got highlighted scriptures. Praise the Lord. If you got a Bible you can't write in, throw it away, get one you can. Praise the Lord. But if I got highlighted things to start, that's what God's showing me. This is God's meaning. When you look through here, I mean, when you see all these scriptures that are highlighted and words that are written, that's God speaking to me about different things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And that's the first place we hear God's voice. And so we take that scripture and we meditate it. Maybe it's not what you need, but you don't need anything else other than what he's telling you. Do you think he doesn't know what you need? Of course he knows what you need. And if he knows what he needs, what you need when he highlights a scripture to you, that's your, it's like, this doesn't have anything to do with my life at all. Yet. But he's going to show you things that will. How do, like, see, that's the thing. When I woke up this morning, I just obeyed. Why don't you open my word first? I obeyed. So that's what I did. And what did he do? Instantly started talking to me about executor of a will. I mean, that happened within the first 2 minutes I was awake. I'm not kidding. That's how, and it just studied it out that quick. And it was like, boom, bing, boom. God makes it easy. I didn't have to go to school to learn that. I didn't have to have years in college to learn that. What I had was the Holy Ghost teaching me right there in bed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So it is my meditation all the day. Meditation, getting to mutter, think about it. Run it in and out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Talk about it. Speak it out. You know? Praise the Lord. We speak scriptures. We do that all the time. Sometimes we sing them. So whatever you got to do, just think about it. Get it out there. Amen? You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. How does he make us wiser? Through his commandments. What are his commandments? The law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? The word of God. Praise the Lord. Through these, he'll make you wiser than all your... You know why it is? Because the Spirit will speak to you. In this past week, there were some things. I found some places in life that were very, very... we'll just say there was a lot of friction. It wasn't in my home, but it was with things, everything that's going on, stuff in the churches, all this stuff. But it was a lot of friction. And what did I notice if when I look back on that time, even when I was doing right and even when I was doing wrong, there was that still small voice in me speaking scripture to me, reminding me of scripture, this, the law of love. Remember how I've been preaching on the law of love? That was my answer all week long, and I failed in it. I failed in it because I stepped out of it for a minute, and I started taking a thought, and I started listening to that thought instead of going back to love. What did love say? Love said, well, I forgive everybody. Love says, you don't even have to ask me for forgiveness. I forgive you. Love says that I'll treat you better than you deserve. Love says that I'll act like God when it comes to you. Love says all these things. But see, I knew, but God was saying love, 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 and pull him. And I was hearing it, but I was like, but I want to go over here. I want to do this thing over here because this is where I feel. Yeah. This is what I feel over. I don't feel love. Yeah. But God was calling me to love. Yeah. But see, you got to love the word. You got to be willing to go back to it. And of course, one of the things I love is that God's patient with us. So even though I screw, and guess what? As I didn't listen to what he said, that was the period of time that I was living in stress. That was the period of time that I was living in hell. That was the period of time when the weight, the pressure was coming down on me. I was like, I was in peace the other day, and now I feel like garbage, and it's your fault. That's what I was thinking in my head. But the whole time, it was because I wasn't focused on what God said. Praise the Lord. God, glory to God. God will make us wiser than our enemies, but we got to love the commandments. What does it mean to love the command? When you love something, man, you stick right to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, you could ask my wife. When I'm feeling love in the house, glory to God, she cannot get away from me. I'm telling you right now, I'm like a dog on the hunt, man. I'm following around everywhere. She can't even do it. You see, she's shaking her head. She can't even do the dishes, and I'm right there. She's like, turn around. Oh, there he is. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm in love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what I'm talking about. That's the way we got to be with the word. We got to chase that word like we can't let it go. We got to have all of it. Give me all of it. Glory to God. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. This is how we got to be with God. This is what God wants us to fall in love and be saturated in him. He wants us to be full of him. Glory to God. Not in some weird kind of, you know, goofy way. Praise the Lord. But we're talking about the way, you know, we got to fall in love. But that, there is that same. He, you know, some of those feelings he made for us to have with him. God wants us to have that intimacy with him. I told you about this time I thought I was in love and I was really feeling it. And I said to the Lord, I didn't even say to him out loud. I was driving in my car and I thought, I was like, this is one of the few times where I heard the audible voice of God. I was driving in my car, and I was a newer Christian at the time, and I thought I was in love. And I was just like, you know, and it was tearing me up a little bit because it was like, you know how love do it? Pulls you in a bunch of different directions, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you do dumb things and stuff like that, all that stuff. But, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, I was like, Lord, do I didn't even ask him. I was just thinking. I was like, I wonder if Jesus, when he was here, ever felt this way about somebody. And I heard the voice, literally the voice of the Lord spoke on the inside of me. I heard it audibly. He said, Jeffrey, I felt that way about everybody. And I said, yeah, but, and I had to say, at that time, I still didn't recognize it was the voice of God. I just thought I was answering myself. And then I said to myself again, I was like, or just kind of say again, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I was just thinking. And I said, but I wonder if he ever loved anybody like this. And then I heard, but Jeffrey, I loved everybody that way. And then one more time, praise the Lord, sometimes you got to do it in threes, right? But one more time, I said, yes, I know he loved everybody. But I wonder if he ever loved anybody like this. And I heard it very, very clearly. Jeffrey, I loved everybody that way. And instantly I got some revelation of something I had never seen before. First, that I heard the voice of the Lord. I mean, literally, like you were talking in my ear. That's how I heard it. But the second thing that I understood is that God loves us intimately. Yeah. That, you know, even when we think about one of the most exaggerated and fought against things, wonderful things that God has given us is the marriage. You take like the marriage, a marriage bed. And we think about how intimate that is. And, you know, the world and the devil has distorted it to be, oh, jump from bed to bed and do, you know, whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want. And the reason that the devil distorts that is because of what that God gave us that as a way for us to understand the intimacy that he desires to have with us. And see, when the devil can distort that and make it something nasty and make it something wrong and make it something filthy, that's what he's done with it. Make it something cheap. He's cheapening that because he knows that every time he does that with God's people, it hurts the Lord. But see, God gave us that for us to understand him better. See, all the good stuff he reserved for us to say, I want you to experience me here on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Have we not heard that before? God wants us. He wants us to pray for it, to believe him for it, to trust him for it. But he says, I'll give you what's yours. You don't even got to look for it. Just look for me. If you look for me, I'll just show you. See, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We're looking for God, or we're looking for stuff. God's looking for us. And if we look for the Holy Spirit, he'll just show us what belongs to us. See, you'll get distracted by what you want because you look at it and you like it. Your eyes will be tickled. Your heart will be tickled. You'll be like, oh, this is something I need. This is something I want. And the whole time God says, if you want me, if you just put that want onto me, says, I'll make it better for you. I'll give you something that tastes better. I'll give you something that looks better. I'll give you something that blesses you more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I told you that God's been dealing with me about my own preferences. Because if I just always have my own preferences, I can't ever see what he really has for me to bless me with. Listen, Christians, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to give you an answer to something that a lot of people just don't know. A lot of people, just because of their preference, because they have to have what they want, they miss what the blessing, the true blessing of what God has for them. Think about that. Every time that you've taken something lesser, that you've foregone something that God, at least for a time, foregone something that God wants to bless you with, that will bless you more. Every single time. Every time that we step out of faith, we forego something that God wants to do. Now, like I said, sometimes we can just push it off for a little bit later. Sometimes people push it off indefinitely. But God wants us blessed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Gloria, we didn't get very far in this. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Look at that. Our enemies are ever with us. They're always with us. There's always going to be somebody who opposes you. But God will always make you come out of time. He always give you the edge. Amen? Praise the Lord. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. What is he saying there? God knows more than your teachers. God knows more than I do. Praise the Lord. And because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you already have more than I could give you naturally. Amen? More than anyone could give you. Now, of course, God will lead me in by that we have the same Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. What is that? His laws, his commandments. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Listen to this. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. In other words, when I know something's evil, I restrain myself. I tie it down. I bind it. I make it something that cannot move. I stake it into the ground. I nail it to the cross so it does not, so it keeps me from walking away from what you have. This is what it means to crucify our flesh. Praise the Lord. That I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments. See, what I was doing the other day is I wasn't nailing my flesh to the cross and keeping his word of love. What I was doing is I was having what my flesh wanted. I was allowing the anger to build. I was allowing the offense to build. I was allowing all these things to build in me. And the whole time it's keeping me from the blessing of God. And God's calling to me. He's calling to me. He's calling to me. He's saying, come back. And I feel it in my spirit. I hear it in my spirit. I know. I feel the tug. I feel the, and that's where the stress starts happening because you're pulled back and forth between two things. You know that it's God and you know you got to do right, but you know your flesh is strong. And so it's pulling you. It's pulling you and it's pulling you, but you got to fight against that. Because when you stay with the word, when you stay hearing his voice, then God can speak to you and he can lead you. What happens so often though is people don't stick to the word. They doing their own feelings, and then they hear direction, and that direction is not God, because the direction they're listening to is not God, because they're not sticking with the first place God speaks to them. If you walk out of the word, if you start going against the commandments, then what happens is you can't hear the Spirit, and though you think you're hearing the Spirit, you're not, and you're going in the wrong direction, and it's just a thing. It tumbles and tumbles and tumbles. People can take the word and they can preach the word, but they can preach it from the wrong place. They can preach it from the wrong heart. And if you preach the word from the wrong heart, you can make the word say anything you want. And you say, well, the word says this, and the word doesn't really say that because there's more behind it. And people twist it and they distort it. Listen, I've been guilty of that myself. You say, what? Well, why are we here? Because there's no human that's perfect. But what I endeavor to do is always be correctable. If you can be correctable, if you can say the word of God is number one in my life, that I can always be corrected by the word, even if my flesh doesn't like it. Yesterday, I called one of my mentors. I called Pastor Michael because I had a situation that I didn't think I was going to be able to get past. And the instruction I didn't think I was going to be able to do. And I called Pastor Michael. And it was so wonderful because I came to him with all my problems, all this issue. And he said, that's what I'm here for. He didn't rebuke me for it. And I was wrong. And he started laying things out for me. And as he started laying out, he wasn't mean, but as he started laying them out, it was correction. And I even said to him, I said, I get my correction. I take my correction because I recognized it. But see, the problem is when people sit before you, I could sit before him and he could say that. And people have done this. He could give them their correction. And he wasn't like, just like brashly giving me correction. But even if he was, I mean, I knew that what he was saying was right as he was speaking it. And though I knew it and didn't even love it at the moment, I corrected myself. And when I corrected myself, I got to the place where I heard. And I even said to him a little bit in frustration at one point, I said, Pastor Michael, help me to understand this thing because I'm having a hard time with this. And he did. He just laid it out for me. But you know what he always kept going back to? He always kept going back to being sure of how God was leading me and the direction that he's be sure of it. And he said to me, I love this, and he said this to me. He said, don't let anybody, even me, change that in you, which you know that. Now, this is as a pastor, of course. I receive his, you know, instruction. But when I know that God is leading me in a direction, I have to go with that. Praise the Lord. So as a pastor, it helped me greatly. And why am I being so open about this? Because I want you guys to understand, it's easy for us to get off. We need the community of believers. See, because if I was a pastor that wasn't connected to other pastors or really connected, if I didn't respect and honor those who are over me and elders and where God, I know God has placed me, if I didn't honor and respect that, I'd never receive those things. And there's so many people that are out there preaching things because they don't have people that they directly submit to. We're all in that place, praise the Lord, until we, you know, grow up and maybe get bigger. But praise God, hallelujah. I'm still growing, amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Your words written in the word to my taste. sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor isn't perfect. But one thing your pastor does do is he hates false. He hates the opposite. He hates false things. I hate untruths. I have a, you remember how I said you have to have a relentless pursuit of truth? You have to have that in you. I have that in me. And that corrects me. And that's exactly what these scriptures are talking about. And it will correct you. This is why we can be led and be sure of our leading. And I'm just telling you the truth. God's peace come. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, I hate every false way. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory to God. His word always leads us and guides us. But this is key here. Now listen to this. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What is this talking about? Exactly what I've been declaring to you tonight. If you don't keep your heart right, your heart is the ability to receive God's implanted word, because that's where his word is implanted. It's not implanted in your head. If God's word just goes into your head, you will only have... That's why all these churches that don't know what they're going to do, that are acting like the world right now, all of those churches that are just as scared as the rest of the world, those are churches that have head knowledge of God, but they don't have heart knowledge of God. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the difference. The church of God does not get afraid. The true church of God does not fear any kind of... The true church of God knows that Jesus is still healer. Amen? Praise the Lord. The true church of God believes God in faith and trusts God in all of these things. Head knowledge versus heart knowledge. If you don't keep your heart right and open to the, it, keep it pure. You remember, I recently said, it was Matthew 5:8. The pure shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is what it says. Amen. You remember that scripture? Glory to God. Stay pure in your heart. How do we do that? The word is my answer. I can always be changed by the word. You start with confessing it. I will always listen to the word. When I am shown the word, praise the Lord, I will go with the word and I'll stay in the word. I'll hunger for the word. If you allow your heart, now listen to this. If you allow your heart to be tainted by worry, by fear, by offense, by wrath, by false teaching, you will never be able to discern God's voice in the word or the spirit. Let me say that again. If you allow your heart to be tainted, when I mean tainted, you know, listen, we'll all have times where a little bit of worry, a little bit of fear, a little bit of anger, all these things will come on us. What do we do with it? Do we stay there? If we embrace fear, if we embrace worry, if we embrace these things, they will. We all will deal with offense. But do we stay there or do we let it go? Praise the Lord. If you allow your heart to be tainted by worry, fear, offense, wrath, false teaching, you will not be able to discern God's voice in the word or in the spirit. And this is exactly what you have when you have people that are out there preaching the word to hurt people. People who learn to receive God's word purely are those who will always hear God's voice. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to close with John 14:26. I know I'm over here. John 14:26. Praise God. We're going to get there, folks, because we're staying with the truth. We love God's word. We love that it changes us, corrects us. Praise the Lord. Amen. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. What is that? His commandments, his law, his precepts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will remind us of all those things. He will bring to remembrance all the things I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace is believing in the word of God. The peace is found. See, that's the thing. If you reject the word, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you through the word. So if you reject the word, you reject the Holy Spirit. You can't hear what he's saying. So if you want to hear the voice of God, it's a progression. And God's going to start speaking to you in the word. And then all of a sudden, one day you're going to be like, you're going to be like, Eureka. That's it. That's him. I recognize that. You know that. And then he's going to start speaking to you. And then there'll be more in the spirit. But you'll never get into the spirit until you get into the word. Amen. If you stay out of the word, you'll stay out of the spirit. That's just the way it is. And so if you want more of the spirit, you got to get into the word. But you got to read it with an open heart, knowing that God, the helper. And you can even go to the word like that. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. You are my guide. You are my teacher. Guide me and lead me as I read your word today. No, see, I just go to the word. Like, I don't pray that every time, but I just go to the word with that understanding, with that heart, because I've built that in me over the years. But you can do that too. And how do you start? Just go to the Lord. Holy Spirit, guide me, teach me. Show me what you want to. I don't open this book without realizing that God's about to speak to me. In fact, I open this book knowing that God's going to speak to me. I open this book because I need him to speak to me. When all this trial started going down, do you know what I did? I'm opening the book. I got into the word. That's what I did. And then God started speaking to me. That quick. Praise the Lord. I think of the things that he's been teaching me. You know what he always teaches me? He always teaches me the word. He always highlights the word to me. God always brings me a scripture. I have to imagine that's just what he does. Is that what he does with you? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so that's what he does with us. He just wants to teach us the word. And as we are people that become people of the word and not just embrace the word as like, this is head knowledge, we're going to learn as much of the scripture as I can. No, but embrace the word as this is God speaking to me. And recognize it. And when you know that, we used to do that confession. This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. Praise the Lord. This is what God wants to say to you. Praise God. And he will highlight, he will give you direction in your life. Things will open up and things will make more sense as you go. And you say, well, I ain't got time to get into all that and take all that time. Yes, you do. Because as you take the steps, God will guide you. And the more pure your heart is, the simpler and easier it'll be to hear from him. Glory to God. So if you keep your, but see here, if you taint yourself with the world, the way the world does things, if you're living the way the world lives, all these things, you're not going to be able to hear God. You'll be confused. You'll be lost. It won't make you, it'll just be trial to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. We believe God. We believe God in this church. Praise the Lord. And I'm just telling you right now that there are good things that are about to happen. Praise the Lord. And when I mean about to happen, I don't mean necessarily it's just going to happen overnight. But I am telling you that this trial that has come on the earth, that has shaken the earth, there are good things. I really love something my pastor said, is that, you know, the Bible talks about the earth being shaken. And when it's shaken, praise the Lord, the bad stuff will fall off. Glory to God. You know, when I go get a haircut, one of the things I do when I walk out of there is I shake and scrub my head, getting all the bad, dead stuff out of there, right? Amen. I can't stand it. I want it gone. And that's exactly what the earth is doing right now. It's shaken. And the true churches, they will rise strong. The true Christians will rise strong. And many people, you wait and see, many people are going to come to know the Lord. Glory to God. As a result of this, faith is going to grow. Faith is growing in you, and it's going to continue growing in you. We are not shaken. We are not moved by this. We are going on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pray for the peace of this town. Pray for the peace of where we're called to. And watch how things change. Amen.